Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth. We're here with you on this Friday morning, and it is Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and that means it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD, and Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? I didn't have a hip-hop start to my morning today. I listened to a little Teddy Pendergrass, Wake Up Everybody, and you know what? I'm ready to go.
You sound ready to go. That's how you start your morning there, TD, and we're glad that you're joining us to be a part of it here on the show. TD, Arthur Smith in Atlanta, Dean Pease joining him as the defensive coordinator. Are you surprised by this? Are you surprised Dean Pease is joining him down there with the Falcons? What do you think of all this and the staff that Arthur Smith is putting together?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I think it's just something that Dean Pease is doing to help Arthur Smith and also to scratch that itch that he had. You know, when you love football and when you've coached it for longer than a lot of people have been alive, if you're away from it, you miss it. And we knew that he missed the game. Just look at when he went to that Titans-Bears game, and you could just it was pretty obvious that he missed football. So I think that's really what it is. A lot of people are going to look at it as a slight on my – I don't think that's the case at all. Mike Vrabel said it himself. He didn't have the heart to try to talk him out of retirement again. And even if he did reach out to him this time, I don't think it was really a comfortable situation for Dean Pease. You know, one thing about Coach Pease – in my opinion, and just in my encounters with him, you know, dating back to a couple years together in Baltimore when I was covering the Ravens, he's a selfless person. And I don't think that he would have been comfortable coming back in here and taking over and possibly impeding the progress that Shane Bowen had. So in my opinion, that's really what it came down to. It's an awesome thing for Arthur Smith, you know, because now Coach Art could just really let that defense be and focus on the offense. He is calling the plays, but he'll be able to touch base with Coach Pease, but he could trust that thing is just going to be operating smoothly.
So TD, where do you think it goes here then? Do you feel like there's any chance or any, you know, reason for Shane Bowen to just get the title? Do you think that Mike Vrabel should be open to, you know, a scheme change, someone with a different defense who just is an up-and-coming defensive coordinator who he could maybe hand that off to? How do you think this turns out on that side of the ball?
You know, to be honest with you, I think Shane Bowen is going to get the title. I really do. I think that's what's going to end up happening. And I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think we have to remember, you know, 2018 to 2019, under Dean Pease, the defense improved, and it improved because guys got an opportunity to play in the system for a second year. They started to play faster, and things just worked that way. Now, I'm not saying Shane Bowen is Dean Pease. Trust me, I'm definitely not saying that. But I think they're going to give Bowen and company a chance to take another crack at it. That's how I look at it, and I think they're going to do some things to bring in the necessary horses to be able to run that race. That's something I've said over and over again. You can't run the race when you don't have horses, right? You know, it's not going to happen. And let's be honest, they didn't really have that last year. Now, granted, you know, there are guys like Jim Leonard from Wisconsin that would, you know, be a pretty interesting situation if he came in. There are other older guys, you know, veteran guys like Wade Phillips or Romeo Crennel that I think would work. But I really think Mike Vrabel wants to have his fingerprint on that defense, and I'm not sure that could happen with a veteran coordinator coming in. So I think, you know, Shane Bowen, the two of them date back to their days with Houston, and I think there's just an equal level as far as the philosophy is concerned and just making things happen that way.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And TD, some movement this week in the Titans division. Phillip Rivers announcing his retirement, and there have been some rumors out there about maybe some potential trade targets that Indianapolis could pursue at the quarterback position. Matthew Stafford involved. People have thrown out Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, Matt Ryan even potentially, depending on what the Falcons do at quarterback. If you're a Titans fan, which option that the Colts could pursue scares you the most and why?
Well, I tell you what, if that team, and it's not going to happen, but if you're just looking at all options, you absolutely do not want Deshaun Watson to go to the Colts.
Oh, no.
You know, because, and I was thinking about it this morning, you know, it's funny because the Colts, or rather the Texans, their playbook is pretty much, you know, hey, Deshaun, go out there and make something happen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he's still doing what he did. He had a phenomenal season last year. Imagine him behind an offensive line, and imagine they, because they have a bunch of money. They have a bunch of space to sign a guy like an Allen Robinson, or even what if they signed Corey Davis and turn around and got Deshaun Watson? Remember that old commercial? TJ, who's your mama? That's what the Colts would be saying.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't even thought about these. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking about Stafford. Like, yeah, imagine Watson. And that's quite a nightmare scenario. What do you think about the whole Watson saga, TD?
It's so unfortunate. And, you know, a lot of people are going to look at Watson and call him a brat and call him this, that, and the third. But I would look at it like this. Let's say one of you guys, you guys were starting a new show, and management told you, hey, we're going to have you involved with the selection process. You know, I really value your input. I want you to, you know, have something to do with who we choose to be your partner. And then a couple of days later, you find out that somebody else is your partner.
Yeah.
And it was never told to you. I think you have to look at it through those glasses to really understand why Watson is upset. And I get it, man. Let's say the whole reason you were in that situation was because, your co-host was, you know, let go. Right? They told him they wanted him to go to another station. I mean, that's really what happened. Hopkins was traded, and then he was told that he would be involved. He wasn't. And now, you know, as he said, he was on two, but he's at 10 now.
Yeah. I mean, it's been crazy to watch and fascinating to see where that's going to go from here. TD, we had a very passionate discussion earlier in the show about the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Now, Tom Brady is widely regarded as the GOAT. Joe Rexroad does not buy into that. Obviously, there's more that goes into quarterbacks than just winning and rings. But if you had to identify your greatest quarterback of all time, who would you say?
Man, it's hard not to say Tom Brady.
But
you know what? I'm going to say Tom Brady. And this is the first time I've done that. Normally, I go with Joe Montana. But I'm going to say Tom Brady. I really am, just because you look at everything. I mean, if you want a guy, he could push the ball down the field with the best of them. The timing passing game is awesome. He could hit that deep in-breaking route. He could throw, we could drive it outside the numbers, and low-key, quiet as kept, he's one of the best short yardage runners in the league, and he's been that way for like 10 years. I think I would have to go with Brady. And, you know, he's a guy that you could let him call the play. I would love to be his coordinator. Hey, man, you go out. Hey, that's another one. You say, hey, Tom, just go out there and make something happen. and you'll win. So I got to say Brady, and wow, I can't believe I'm saying that over Joe Montana, because for years and years and years, I've had so many debates where I said Montana was the eight. Hey, I'm going with Tom Brady.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what? At least that was analysis, though. That was not, let me count the rings. Oh, he's number one. So you know what? I appreciate that. And hey, it's a debate.
You are backpedaling like Deion Sanders right now.
Not at all. Not at all. I don't have a problem with someone saying Tom Brady's the GOAT. I have a problem with someone saying, oh, there's no question. Six rings. He's the GOAT. That's my problem. So if you want to get in and dig in on it like TD just did, great. I mean, of course he has a case. Of course he has a case to be the GOAT. I just reject. Like, again, this is Stillman does this. Oh, of course he's the GOAT. Six rings. That's it. No, there's a lot more to it. And I mean, like for me, TD, my number one is Peyton Manning. I just think he was a better quarterback than Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, but Montana, that's great. Elway, I mean, it's
got to mention Elway.
Yeah, and we got some guys right now who are going to be there.
My favorite all time is Steve Young. Yes, that's my favorite. I always loved Steve Young, man. That run against the Rams, you know, where he ran through the whole team.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Yeah, well, I've always loved Steve Young.
Well, we talked about that earlier, TD. So, you know, like Montana, for example, like I think Steve Young was more talented than Montana. You know, obviously mm-hmm. he was more athletic. But, you know, Montana achieved more. You know, so yeah. like how do you – and I also think Montana – that West Coast offense at that time was the – that was the thing, right? I mean –
it certainly was, yeah.
You know, there's so many factors that go into this.
Yeah, I love the reason why, you know, both of those guys, Montana and Brady, are so high for me is because no moment was ever too big. I mean, imagine being in a huddle at the Super Bowl and somebody doing a timeout, you know, and your quarterback saying, "Hey, look, there's John Candy."
Right, yeah, exactly.
Those are the types of things like that just settles everything down. And the guys have said that multiple times, like on that drive against the Bengals in 88, you know, when John Taylor, one of my favorite receivers of all time, caught the touchdown before that drive started. That was what Montana said, and they said that really just calmed the moment, put in perspective.
That is a great – that's a great moment, great line.
All right, TD, last thing for you here. I'm going to put you on the spot. Conference championship weekend. Who wins this weekend? What is the Super Bowl matchup when we come in here on Monday?
Oh, it's simple. That's not putting me on the spot at all. It's Chiefs and Packers. I think that's what it comes down to. I feel Patrick Mahomes is going to play, and I just think the Chiefs, their defense is being just completely slept upon. And when you have a defense that – you know, has Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, so strong up the middle and quietly a good play from a guy like Rashad Breeland. You know, I think they're going to be too much for the Bills. And it's going to, you know, the carriage is going to turn back into a pumpkin for them. You know, I don't see them going to the Super Bowl. And just with the Packers, man, Aaron Rodgers is playing better than anybody right now. And Devontae Adams. So I see them, you know, clashing, and it's going to be one of those old school throwback Packers and Chiefs as far as the franchises are concerned in the Super Bowl. And I think the Chiefs win, and Andy Reid retires, and Eric Bieniemy rightfully gets a head coaching job.
Ooh, nice. I like that. Very all nice. Right. That's okay. Call Your Shot Friday. That's a great shot from TD to end the segment here. ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. TD, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, for sure, man. You guys have a great one. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, one of the best in the business, joins us every Friday here at 8 o'clock. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what TD had to say there. Get into Dean Pease a little bit more. How upset are Titans fans? Where do they go from here at defensive coordinator? And also, get into what the new head coach of the Detroit Lions said yesterday. Man, was it weird in his press conference. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. Make sure you're tuning in later this hour at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds taking on the Dallas Stars tonight. At 8:45, if you can be the first caller, you'll have your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for tonight's game. And if they score, you win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So we'll look forward to that at 8:45. Fellas, we had Teron Davenport on in the last segment. And Ryan Porth, you said in Call Your Shot Friday, you think Shane Bowen will be named defensive coordinator for the Titans in title as they go through and make their decisions here. Also, TD saying that he expects, or is guessing, that Shane Bowen becomes the defensive coordinator as well. Joe, does that surprise you? If that's the route the Titans end up going, would that surprise you if Shane Bowen is just simply given the title of defensive coordinator next season?
It would not shock me. I would not be shocked. I mean, that would be in line with kind of how Vrabel has done things. And Vrabel has overall been successful. I know for sure, like, if that happens, the fan reaction will not be positive. And I understand why. I mean, if Shane Bowen was the de facto DC, as he was, without knowing exactly, you know, who did all what and everything, but, you know, he called the plays, he called the meetings, all that stuff, and they were this bad, it just stands to reason that he didn't do a good job. I will also reiterate, I think before we get to the coordinator situation, you look at the players in the field, that was the biggest issue. But what also then go to the next step, we saw what Dean Pease did with a lot of the same personnel, and it was a lot better. So I wouldn't blame fans for not being excited. I also would not sit here and say there is zero chance it can work. I mean, you got to give him better players, and then he's got to do a better job. And maybe having the DC title and players knowing that, which is why people give coordinators titles, I think, maybe that makes a difference. But if you're asking me what I think he should do, I think that he should go hire someone who has demonstrated success as a defensive coordinator.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, because we had a historically bad defense, I feel like improvement would be by default because it would be almost impossible to be that bad again. Bring someone in that can get us to the top half of the league. Shane Bowen won't do that. Offense might decline some with roster turnover, so defense is going to have to pick up more slack next season. I would expect that, you know, even though I think the offense is still going to be pretty good, I mean, you're going to have to get better defensive play next year. So that, I think that's a great point brought up by Ben, although Ben is the one earlier in the show that said that he was comparing Tom Brady and Robert Horry. So I'm still not forgiving Ben for that because that drove me insane. But a great point by Ben there. What do you think about the idea of it doesn't really matter who the defensive coordinator is. It's going to be very difficult to replicate how bad that defense was this year, and they should improve almost by default.
Well, you can suck 2 years in a row in this league. I mean, just look at the Detroit Lions. You know, I mean, you can be bad again too next year if you don't. Again, you like the sentence he had there. You know, Shane Bowen can't get them to the. First of all, we don't know that, but I know that's true if the personnel looks the same. I mean, you've got to seriously do some stuff to upgrade your players on defense. I mean, that's more important than any of this talk about DC.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville text in, says, bring in Kerry Coombs from Ohio State. He did great while he was here. Do you think that he would leave Ohio State and come back and be the DC for the Titans?
I have to go look at his salary, but it is awfully juicy. I mean, now, you know, I mean, and certainly there's a big difference between what he makes there and what he was making as DB coach.
Sure.
Now, could the Titans say, hey, we'll pay you more, come back, you know, be our – I mean, it's possible, but I guess I'd be surprised if he went back to the college game. He's in a place where, again, he's going to have the best players almost every Saturday and have a chance to win national championships year after year. And then instead, no, come back and try to fix this mess. I'd be surprised.
Joe, you brought up the Detroit Lions earlier in this segment as an example of how it is very possible in the NFL to suck multiple years in a row. They had a very, very interesting press conference yesterday with their new head coach, Dan Campbell, and he phrased things in a way that I'm not sure I've quite ever heard before when it comes to an NFL head coach. Here's what Dan Campbell had to say.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that, so excuse my language, all right? Here's what I do know, is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city, all right? And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
All right, so do we think that Dan Campbell knows that he's not actually coaching a team full of literal lions, like these are actually human beings and football players? Like, that was so strange. And to me, it was hilarious because you could tell, like, when he's going down that route, he's thinking in his head, oh, man, this is great. I'm going to get people fired up with this. And the deeper he went into that little soliloquy right there, the weirder it got. That was very strange from Dan Campbell. Looks like this is going to turn out really well in Detroit.
What the hell was he talking about?
I don't know, man.
I mean, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Campbell the cannibal. You're going to bite someone's kneecap off? I mean, this is just classic, man. Just classic Lions. So there's all these great coordinators out there, but no, let's get the guy from the Saints who wants to bite people's legs in half. What? I mean, what are they doing?
It's going to be so bad.
I will say this. I think I've had Vrabel number one in the Octagon rankings. You know, like you put him in the ring with whoever in this league, other head coaches. I think I'd take him. I don't know. Campbell might. Campbell Vrabel could be a heck of a death match.
Well, if he's biting at the knees, yeah, that's an unfair advantage. And there's got to be some rules involved in the Octagon as well. You can't just have Campbell in there going after Vrabel's knees the whole time.
Wear knee pads, Vrabel.
That was the strangest thing I think I've ever heard. I mean, look, I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to hype up the fan base, and the point he's trying to drive home is like, hey, when we get punched in the mouth, we're going to fight right back. And I get it. I mean, people say stuff like that all the time. But to go that deep into it where you get to, like, you know, by the third time they punch us in the face, we're going to be back up and biting them in the knee. Okay, coach. All righty.
I'm going to dip your spleen in my eggs and, you know, like, what? What are you talking about? Can't Hannibal Lecter stuff. I mean, I don't think the Lions are going to win very much, but they'll probably have another bounty gate. You know, bring that from New Orleans to Detroit, you know.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin text in. It says, all Dan Campbell left out of his speech was the champions of life. If he would have said something about the champion's life in the middle of that little speech he went on, I don't know if I could have handled it today here on the show.
Yeah, the the liver eating champions of life. I mean, talking
gonna
about
bite your knee in half. Oh man, the Detroit Lions, the gift that keeps on giving in the NFL. We'll see how that goes. Looks like it's off to a roaring start there in Detroit with Dan Campbell as head coach. When we come back, we will switch gears and dive into the Nashville Predators. Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp will join us. That's coming up next. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel, and I got to tell you, the playoffs are the perfect time to make it a little bit more exciting this weekend, and it's called the Same Game Parlay Bet. They're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook, and the Same Game Parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the conference championship round. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay, and best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect that parlay. That means you can place a 3-plus Same Game Parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with Same Game Parlay insurance. And the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. It's just one of many ways to win on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's so easy to use. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours. That's been one of the best parts all season long. So if you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use my promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, at sign up. That's promo code ROB at sign up. And if you're currently a customer, then you're all set. Just go check out Same Game Parlays, only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. A refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tonight for their first road trip of the season. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Preds TV analyst, the legendary Terry Crisp. Crispy, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, we're back into hockey again, and the fellas are on their first road trip of the season. And lo and behold, arch rivals, Dallas Stars, who don't like us, we do not like them. Oh, and by the way, they were Stanley Cup finalists last year, knocked off by the powerful Tampa Bay Lightning. So it should be a good test.
It's absolutely going to be a good test for the Predators. And Crispy, based on the three games that we've seen so far, what have you liked about the Predators and what they've brought to the table through the first three games?
Probably speed. Speed jumps out at me. All the games we've played, the guys have been skating up and down, up and down. That game against the Carolina Hurricanes is one of the best games I've seen for speed by both teams. I mean, attacking, getting back and defending, doing all the things you're supposed to. And then also throw in goaltending at both ends of the ice. So far this year, we've seen some pretty good hockey. The other area I liked about our guys is that they seem to be in a mold now, a mode where they're doing the systems they want. They're working. Each time you can see the continuity on the power play, trying to make it click. They keep doing it, and it's going to work on their penalty kill. I think Coach Hines has gotten through to them that, hey, if we're going to win and we're going to do it, we have to do it as a team with our system, and every night the system has to work.
So Crispy, we've talked a lot. The phrase has been used a million times, harder to play against, but it sounds like you're saying maybe this team also needed to be a little bit more organized, a little bit more committed to whatever the system was in place. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Let's be honest. Each line is not built the same. Each line doesn't have the same amount of talent or skill on it. But whether you're classified first, second line, third, fourth line, you have a job. You have a way of playing out there, and you bring that game every shift. And I'm seeing that now. I'm seeing the third and fourth liners doing what they're supposed to do, the first and second kicking it into gear for us. And the other night, I was pleased with the effort we had offensively against a very, very good Hurricane team. I'm telling you, the players, too, almost to a man, said they should have won. And that wasn't just mouthing platitudes. I feel the same way. We had more scoring chances than them, more point-blank scoring chances than the Hurricanes. But, again, I'm going to belabor the fact that those chances are all well and good, but we have to finish. We got to bury the chances, point-blank breakaways, nets with just you and the goalie. We got to put them in.
Crispy, another thing I've noticed through the first three games is the physicality with this group. A little bit more physical of a group, I think, this year as well. Not just with guys that you expected, like Borowiecki and Benning coming into the fold, but also, I mean, Johansson's played a little bit more physically this year as well. What have you thought of the physicality from the group, and specifically with the new guys like Borowiecki? How much of a benefit do you think that element can be for this team as the season goes on here?
Huge. You've heard me belabor the point that we got running up some buildings. We didn't answer the bell. I go back to that playoff series against the Dallas Stars. I was mad for a whole summer over that, over what happened and the results of that. And then we had to get tougher and stronger. So David Poile agreed with it, went out. Coach Hines agreed with it and went out and got the players. And you know what? It rubs off. Enthusiasm rubs off. Grit rubs off. And you look at Olivier coming up from Milwaukee and the new players you mentioned coming in, they're there. And I like exactly what I see from them doing it. So, yeah, you know what? We're a stronger team, tougher to play against. That's what I'm looking for.
And, of course, you know, got to have the scoring, Crispy. We know what that top line can do. So far, I've liked how Deschene and his line have looked. Granlund, of course, now back in the fold. What do you think so far of that line and where it's going?
I like it. I like the chemistry. I like Hall over there. I like Duchesne. Duchesne is really flying. I mean, he had three breakaways, four or five good scoring. He's going to put them in. He's too skilled not to. Cunning on the other side, he goes where angels fear to tread. He's in there. And everybody says about Granlund coming back, that's going to be a help. But I don't think that Coach Hines is going to hand him the job with Duchesne the way that Halla and Cunnan are playing with him. So that'll be interesting to see what happens too.
Crispy, as you look at goaltending through the first bit here, obviously Saros has been incredible. I thought Pekka played really well against Carolina. What have you seen out of the goaltending so far? And if they can continue to play close to this level all season long, how much of a benefit for that is this group? How much of a luxury is that when you look at the rest of the league and having a two-goalie system that can work this way?
Huge, huge. And all I do have to point to is the schedule. We're going to play each team 8 times. You're going to build rivalries. They get to know each other so well. The players know the goalies. The goalie know the players. And Coach Hines has said it continually. We're going to need two goalies, back-to-back games, one time in between the games. They're crunched. They're shoved in there. We're going to need two, and we're lucky. We are blessed that we have two good, solid goaltenders.
I think, Joe, did you leave? There you go.
No, sorry. No. Sorry about that. Crispy, go ahead. Go ahead, Robbie.
Crispy, last thing for you here. As you look at the game against Dallas, you've been around for a lot of rivalries for the Predators, a physical one against the Ducks, kind of a different style against the Blackhawks and the Red Wings. What do you like about this rivalry from Dallas? Where do you think it ranks in terms of rivalries right now for this group of players?
You know what? Last year was tough. It was miserable. I'm looking over Dallas's lineup now as to what the guys have, like Sagan's out. I see a lot of unfamiliar faces in their team that we went up against the year in the playoffs and whatnot. So I still see some of the guys like Pavelski's there, Ben is still there, Hintz. They got some good young guys. So I expect that, they're Stanley Cup finalists. They're not going to ease off the pedal. I expect a tough game against them.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Crispy, great stuff, and man, appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thanks, guys. Y'all stay safe, and our fans also. Stay safe out there.
Absolutely. You as well, Crispy. We will talk to you next week at this time. And, Joe, some big ones coming up this weekend for the Predators against the Stars. And it's interesting, this rivalry, you know, honestly, there's been some good physicality to it in the last couple of years. But I think Dallas has gotten the better end of that most of the time just based on their size and the personnel that they've had. You know, we've talked about the skill and the concerns we have in the top six, maybe with scoring depth with this group. But I think in this game, with the style of play that the Stars like to play, I think this Predators group matches up against the Stars better than they have for the last couple of years based on the new guys they brought into the fold, the physicality that comes with that, and just the way Dallas likes to play the game. Like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you thought of the Dallas Stars as like this high-flying, high-scoring offensive team. They're really not built that way anymore. I mean, you still have Sagan when he's healthy. Jamie Benn's not the same player that he used to be. Pavelski's come in and adds a nice punch there as well. But they're not the same just run-and-gun offensive team they used to be. I think that matches up well for the Predators based on this new roster and the style of play that we've seen thus far.
Yeah, well, and I think that this is a good test, too. This is a good test of what the Preds have been talking about and what we think we're seeing. To see how it works against a team that has, frankly, roughed them up, and in particular, of course, in that playoff series, but even, you know, last year at times, you know, this is one of those teams that serves as a measuring stick if you want to be a more physical, gritty team.
It does. And with that being said, it's almost time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds taking on the Stars tonight. They'll take them on Sunday as well. If you can be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, you will have the opportunity to guess your goal scorer for the Preds tonight against Dallas. And if that player scores, you will win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So get to dialing on those phones, 615-737-1025. 1025 615 737 1025. Preds Pick to Click. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Curve on front and the score.
Who's going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it's that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds taking on the Dallas Stars tonight, their first road trip of the season against a division rival, some bad blood between the Predators and the Dallas Stars. And we've got your opportunity now for Preds Pick to Click. And let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on today's winner, which is Chip. Chip, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So, Chip, it's been a very successful run for our listeners so far in Preds Pick to Click, guessing the goal scorer for that game for the Nashville Predators. So as you look ahead to the matchup tonight against the Stars, who do you like? Who's your goal scorer for the Preds?
Got to go with the obvious. It's Scorsberg, and not only will he have the first, he'll have a Hattie.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh.
I really like that. Forsberg on the board tonight. Chip has confidence, and not only is he getting one, he's getting three. Forsberg's hot right now. I like the pick, Chip.
All right.
Good luck to you, and we'll keep it monitored tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, look, it's an easy one to go with right now. The dude is rolling. Three goals in three games for Philip Forsberg. I like Chip kind of taking the additional step there and saying not only is it going to be one, he's getting three tonight. A Hattie for Forsberg on the road.
Does Chip know that Call Your Shot Friday is at 8:45 Eastern and not 8:45 Central?
Hey, I dig it.
It's a good called shot.
I dig it. The dude is rolling right now. Philip Forsberg's playing, looks like a guy on a mission through three games.
Now, we also have, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it Judy? Now, her pick to click is also active tonight, correct?
That was Seth. Seth's pick to click is active tonight. Matt Duchesne.
All right. Duchesne. Okay, so we got Duchesne and Forsberg.
Yeah, Judy won last week.
Judy already won. All right, I'm sorry. All right, there we go. So we got Duchesne, we got Forsberg on the board.
That is correct. So without further ado, Ryan Porth, would you like to start us off this time in the competition? Preds pick to click. I'll start. You know what? You're getting the finger that I will start, not that finger, the other one. I'm going to go with Victor Arvidsson tonight for the Predators against the Stars. He finally broke through in the last game against Carolina on a howitzer on the power play. He had been getting chances. I like the way he's moving. I like the way he's skating right now. I think Victor Arvidsson keeps it going. Give me Victor Arvidsson for my Preds pick to click tonight against the Stars. I feel good about it, Joe.
Yep, he's got to stay healthy, stay on that ice.
That is step one.
You know, yeah, that is important for him. Me or Porth?
You go ahead, Joe. Have at it.
You know, I kind of like the idea of kind of going deep cuts a little bit, like, you know, Kalle Yarncroke, it's his night. But, you know, it's a competition. So just give me the other member of that line who hasn't been picked. Give me some Ryan Johansson. He's been close, too, very close. I think he's played well. I think he's been active. He looks fast. He looks to be in good shape. He's aggressive. I think he's going to bury one.
I saw a stat the other day from The Point, which illustrated that Ryan Johansson had 14 scoring chances through the first three games. That is a pretty good amount for Ryan Johansson,
wow.
And especially when you consider the knock on him all the time that I get on Twitter, or Preds fans tweeting me five times a game, about Ryan Johansson not shooting the puck. He's had some opportunities. I like that pick, Joe. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Ryan Porth, your pick to click.
All right, so the active players that we have for pick to click are Arvidsson, Johansson, Forsberg, and then Duchesne, which was Seth's pick earlier this week.
That is correct.
So the four best forwards.
That's correct.
I'm going off the board a little bit on this one. I think this game is tailor-made for some of the role players. A new face within this rivalry. I think it is tailor-made for Nick Cousins.
Okay.
I'm going with Nick Cousins to get on the board tonight. He hit the post Monday night against Carolina. He's been playing really well. I'm going to go with Nick Cousins.
I like that. That's a good pick. Nick Cousins been very impressive so far. And by the way, skated on a line yesterday with Matt Duchesne. So maybe a little bit of a top six opportunity upcoming for Nick Cousins in this game. And Joe, you talk about Cousins and you've mentioned, you know, him trash-talking on the ice, him not being afraid to get in there and mix it up. A game like this with a rivalry as heated as it is right now between the Stars and the Predators, you would think this game tailor-made for a guy like Nick Cousins.
Oh, yeah. And, hey, I mean, I think Dallas fans should jump right in on what could be a very long, hateful relationship with Nick Cousins. So why not just start it right off and give them a taste of it?
So – speaking of guys on the second line that have an opportunity to jump in, the Predators very soon could have another member on the second line. Mikael Granlund took part in practice yesterday for the Nashville Predators. He was skating, has gotten through his quarantine, and is traveling with the Predators to Dallas. So I would not expect him to be in there tonight for the Preds against the Stars, get some practice time in there, and make sure from a conditioning standpoint that he's ready to go. But David Poile did talk yesterday that maybe as early as Sunday, Granlund could be ready to play. If not, certainly at some point next week, as long as everything continues to go well on a testing front with Granlund. And it got me thinking about something Matt Duchene said the other day here on our show, just talking about Granlund, the chemistry they had on the second line last year, and how he felt that there was some unfinished business between himself and Mikael Granlund. Here's what Matt Duchene had to say when he joined us on the show on Wednesday.
I think last year we probably didn't put up the numbers we deserved to based on how we played and just the different habits and different things we were doing out there. It was just one of those years. When he was coming back, I was like, okay, I felt like he and I had some unfinished business together, and you know, I'm sure he feels the same way a little bit. And if we do end up on the same line together, and I know we will at some point, I don't know if it'll be right off the bat or whatever, but I'm excited. I mean, he's a great player, and I was really pumped. I know we all were really pumped to get him back. And, you know, it's hopefully we can have a big year and he can sign a long-term deal here.
So that was Preds forward Matt Duchene, who joins us every Wednesday, brought to you by Two Rivers Ford and Gary Ashton Remax Advantage. And, Joe, you could tell it in Duchene's voice there. Obviously very excited to get Granlund back into the fold. Expects that he'll join him on the second line at some point, whether that's right away, whether they kind of ease Granlund into that process, remains to be seen. But as you look at those two guys, the way that they play, the way that they both like to have the puck on their stick and operate that way coming into the zone, what do you think about that combination together? It wasn't as productive as we thought it should be last season. Can they rebound and have that production this season as a duo?
It's a great question. It's a really important question. I mean, that's a really important combination for the Preds. I also think it's a little bit less pressure on the Granlund front based on how everything, you know, came about with him coming back around to coming here. I mean, it's going to be those two on that line, right? I mean, I think that other spot could change. But once Granlund gets back in there, I don't see any other place where he's going to be other than next to Duchene on that second line for a long, long look, unless it really doesn't go well. So, I mean, this is a really important combination for this team this season. I think we've seen some good things between them, and I think it's probably encouraging to hear Duchene talk like that because obviously he feels like they've got potential to really get some great chemistry going.
And it's interesting, like Granlund has been such an interesting guy to try to figure out since he got here, because I remember when they made that trade and sent Kevin Fiala to Minnesota and Granlund was coming back, I was like, well, man, that's a great trade by David Poile. Fiala was not working out here. There were some attitude issues that he had. There were some fit issues inside the scheme. I don't know that he was overly popular with the players inside that room here based on some of the reaction that I saw after he was moved out of that locker room. And you bring a guy like Granlund in, up until that point in the 2018-19 season in Minnesota, I mean, the dude had 49 points in 63 games. I mean, you're talking about a guy that had 15 goals, 34 points, had seasons where, you know, you finished with 69 points, 67 points, a pretty high-level player in the NHL. And ever since he came to Nashville, it just hasn't really been there from a production standpoint. He had about a three-week to a month stretch right after the coaching change was made last year when John Hines first came in, where Granlund took off and his production was there and he was one of the best forwards every night for the Predators. I mean, I think back to that game, I think it was against Calgary, where he comes back and ties it late and then wins it in overtime. I mean, he was playing really, really well, but that's been few and far between as far as a production standpoint is concerned with Granlund in his time with the Predators. And it's interesting because obviously he's a guy that can do it. He's proven that at the NHL level. He's been a 69, 67-point guy, and he's only 28 years old. So I'm interested to see if Duchene and Granlund can kind of unlock each other and their capabilities this year and have that consistent scoring threat on the second line that the Predators have been searching for at this point for so long now.
Yeah, I mean, just me watching Granlund, I didn't watch Granlund closely other than here. Like, he doesn't look like a player who gets 26 goals and 69 points in a year, or 60, like you said. The, I mean, are the 16, 17, and 17, 18, are those just outliers for him? Is he more of a, you know, a 40-point guy? I mean, I think even if he's a 40-point guy, you know, that the Preds will take that. I haven't seen the evidence here that he's that kind of player. So I don't know. Is that the exception to the rule of what he is?
I don't know. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy, and I get it. You look back to 16, 17, and 17, 18, his two best years from a production standpoint, and you're talking about, you know, 26 goals, 21 goals. He's a guy that from a goal-scoring standpoint, I think there's another level for him to reach here, but also just playmaker. I mean, he had 46 assists in 2017-2018, and the playmaking part of it, I haven't seen anywhere near enough from Mikhail Granlund, and some of that I think is based on who he's been playing with, and some of that I think does go back to the system. I think under Laviolette, the puck's just not on his stick as much. We talked about how the defense likes to control the rush, and you're going to have some of that still here under John Hines, but I do think part of the reason why we saw Granlund take off the way he did after that change was made was just, number one, more opportunity, but number two, the system. I mean, it's John Hines wants the puck on the stick of his forwards as quickly as you can possibly get it, and I think that really benefits Duchesne and Granlund in particular, and that's why I'm excited to see what they can do this year under a system that they've now had some experience in, and the whole team is kind of adapted to this style of play. I'm interested to see how that translates from a production standpoint.
So who do you think is the ideal, excuse me, third member of that line then?
Well, I think right now it'd be hard to take Luke Cunning off just based on his speed, the way he's playing the game. I've been impressed with his shot and his ability to create space for himself. So I would probably start with Granlund, Duchesne, and Cunning. Now, I will say this. Eric Halla and Granlund have played together before. They played well together before. They're best friends off the ice, and I do think chemistry like that can matter. So maybe you take a look at that at some point down the line here too, but I think to start with, I'm going with Cunning alongside Granlund and Duchesne.
And that seems to have – it seems to have real nice potential, you know. But you've got to make that materialize. Our guy Jeremy K. Gover sending us a Laviolette Hines comparison on Twitter in terms of you know, Granlund, you know, 0.37 points per game under Laviolette, 0.53 under Hines. So, I mean, that's an encouraging number, encouraging jump.
Yeah, and we'll see if he can continue to build on that once he gets back into the fold, maybe as quickly as Sunday coming up for the Nashville Predators against the Dallas Stars. We'll keep our eyes on that all weekend long. And when we come back, we will switch gears and get back into the Tennessee Volunteers, a big hire at the athletic director position yesterday, and a man who's been all over it, Chris Vanini from The Athletic. He'll join us, and we'll get his thoughts on what it means for Tennessee as they move forward here looking for their next head coach. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.